IVA411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Police in Washington, D.C. say they're investigating a woman's claim she was assaulted by Florida GOP Congressman Corey Mills.
D.C. police say the alleged assault occurred sometime Wednesday morning inside a penthouse at one of Washington's premier apartment buildings overlooking the Potomac. Corey Mills' office released a statement saying law enforcement was asked to resolve a private matter at the congressman's residence. The Florida Republican, quote, vehemently denies any wrongdoing whatsoever and is confident he'll be quickly cleared.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. The Trump administration moving ahead with more cuts to the federal workforce. The latest layoffs at the IRS, where 6,000 jobs are being slashed. A judge in New York did not set a trial date for accused killer Luigi Mangione, charged in the shooting death of United Healthcare CEO in December. Mangione pleaded not guilty to state murder charges that include an enhancement for terrorism. He is also facing federal charges. This is ABC News. A string of explosions rocking an Israeli coastal town just south of Tel Aviv late yesterday.
Israel's Shin Bet arresting at least one suspect after three parked and empty public buses exploded Thursday night in Bat Yam, just south of Tel Aviv. No one injured. A bomb later found on a fourth bus. Officials believe Palestinian militants planted the bombs, aiming to blow up four crowded public buses Friday morning, but incorrect timers set off the bombs early. The investigation now under a gag order as Israel's prime minister orders the IDF to intensify its counterterrorism operation in the West Bank. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
New government data showing existing home sales were down in January. Higher mortgage rates and sparse inventory for buyers is putting a damper on the market. Another report showing consumer confidence slid with concerns over potential tariffs. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print it all for my business.
Oh, if you can think it, Staples can print it, and we'll beat any print quote.
Oh, great. I'm thinking new brochures and yard signs?
No problem.
I'm thinking calendars, t-shirts, and pens.
Totally.
I'm thinking Staples is the place for printing.
I thought you might think that.
Right now at Staples, get up to $250 off your print purchase. Ends 4-5, exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details. Price match guarantee valid in-store and staples.com/print. Visit staples.com/pricematch for details.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats to your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Awen. The City of Wausau Ethics Board will investigate a complaint filed against Mayor Doug Denny related to his handling of a locked, unsecured ballot box placed outside City Hall last September.
But attorney Eric Larson, who has been hired by the city to help the board investigate the matter, says it's important to remember that this is not a determination of guilt.
We're still preliminary, and we're working toward a second preliminary step which is a probable cause determination. I think we need to be very clear.
The Ethics Board has requested more information, including a timeline of when the box was placed outside City Hall and where it was moved to before it was ultimately installed and opened for use as a ballot drop box for the 2024 election, along with communications that occurred between Mayor Denny, the city clerk, and city attorney Ann Jacobson. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
UW-Madison officials are again asking for permission to tear down the campus's deteriorating humanities building. The State Journal reports campus officials have been asking for a complete demolition of the Mossy building for over a decade. That structure was built in the 60s, and it's crumbling on the inside. The price to tear down the building and move the arts and music departments is nearly $300 million. It's unclear if that money will make it into either Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal or the budget that the Republican-controlled legislature will approve. A real estate property scam is targeting vacation homes and vacant land.
Scammers pose as property owners looking to make a quick sale of unoccupied land they don't actually own. Burnett County Register of Deeds, Jeannie Taylor, recommends owners sign up for property fraud alerts.
If their property has been fraudulently sold or transferred or whatever through these scams, they would be notified upon somebody recording that.
Sign up for the free program at propertyfraudalert.com. I'm Carl Cooley for Wisconsin Radio Network.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny today with high temperatures reaching the mid-20s. Then tonight, we fall to the single digits, and for tomorrow, warmer with highs reaching 30 degrees. Then we climb above freezing Sunday through Wednesday. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 23.
By Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome in. Good to have you with us for the conversation here today on Agriculture of America, AOA. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, and excited to get down to a number of different topics here on today's program. We're going to recap the National Ethanol Conference and talk about some storylines and issues that were talked about during the conference here this past week. Todd Neely, DTN Environmental Editor, is going to join us for that conversation. I know I was able to catch up with him a little bit in the hallways during the NEC, and we're going to sit down and tell you about what we heard, and that's going to be coming up here in segment two. In segment three, we're going to take a look at the market action. There's been some interesting moves here as of late in the grains and oil seeds. Ted Seifert with Zahner AgCatch is going to join us for that conversation coming up here after the bottom of the hour. And then at the end of the show, probably hard to believe right now because it's been very cold, but spring planting, it's not too far off here in the distant future, and that's going to mean getting your equipment ready to hit the field when the time is right, and that includes tire maintenance. I was able to talk with Chris Neidert from Trelleborg at the National Farm Machinery Show when I was in Kentucky here just a few days ago and got some tire tips from him and talked about some of their new award-winning tire innovations. We'll hear that coming up here in segment four today. Let's kick things off and take a look at some of the news headlines watching on Capitol Hill as the Senate had what they call a votorama, a late night votorama. The Senate Republicans took a major step to advance President Trump's sweeping agenda, voting to adopt the budget blueprint. Well, that's going to set up a clash with House Republicans who have put forward a competing plan. And so that's something we're going to be watching closely here as we move forward. We got that March 14th deadline, of course, that we need to keep an eye on. We talked a bit about the budget reconciliation on our program yesterday with Congressman Dusty Johnson from South Dakota. North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer said in a statement early Friday morning that it's, quote, pretty darn clear that the American people delivered a mandate for change on Election Day, and our resolution really does a couple of things. It brings us a step closer to achieving President Trump's top priorities, starting with securing our borders and reestablishing American strength by bolstering national defense and then unlocking America's full energy potential. It helps pay for it and, of course, grows our economy at the same time, end quote. Again, that's comments from North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer. The resolution that the Senate passed allows or allocates $175 billion to be spent on border security and curbing illegal immigration, invests $150 billion to rebuild military capabilities, raises federal revenue by requiring the increased production of American energy, and instructs committees to offset spending with cuts. That's according to what the Senate has laid out, and that's according to a press release from Senator Cramer's office. So we're watching what's going on there on Capitol Hill. Also, we've been watching, of course, the reviews going on by DOGE and others. Well, the USDA announced on Thursday, Secretary of Ag Brooke Rollins, that they will release the first tranche of funding that was paused due to the review of funding in the Inflation Reduction Act, saying that they are releasing approximately $20 million in contracts for the Environmental Quality Incentive Program, EQIP, the Conservation Stewardship Program, and the Agricultural Conservation Easement Program. Secretary Rollins said in a statement, in part, after careful review, it's clear that some of this funding went to programs that had nothing to do with agriculture. She's referring to the IRA funding. That is why we are still reviewing, but she says, whereas other funding was directed to farmers and ranchers who have since made investments in these programs, we will honor our commitments to American farmers and ranchers, and we will ensure they have the support they need to be the most competitive in the world, end quote. Now, I will say we have our request in to have a conversation with the new USDA Secretary, Brooke Rollins, and we'll be looking forward to hopefully getting that for you here on AOA in the not too distant future. Of course, we're watching the concerns about tariffs and retaliation. A lot of folks in the ag sector are worried about this and how this could play out, and that includes ag machinery manufacturers. Kurt Blade, Senior Vice President of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, says a lot is going on right now in the industry.
Obviously, what the new administration brings in some excitement and brings in some opportunities and also brings in some challenges. And tariffs is certainly one of those where we have a disagreement with the administration. Previously, when we've talked about tariffs during the previous Trump administration and the tariffs that were on steel and aluminum, we came out pretty strong saying that this is not as simple as you might think. It's a tool that we can use to rein some challenges in. But steel and aluminum, I mean, it takes three things to make a tractor. It takes labor, transportation, and steel.
Now, Blade says it is basic economics. When input prices go up, prices for the finished products go higher as well.
Steel prices go up by 30%. It just kind of goes without saying that the prices has a ripple effect. And it's not as simple as wanting to buy only U.S.-made steel. It's a global market. So those tariffs do have a ripple effect. We're paying really close attention to that. We're paying really close attention to all of the tariffs, you know, including those that are involved with Canada and Mexico, knowing that we are in a global supply market. And the amount of times that a piece of equipment or a piece of fertilizer or a piece of seed crosses the border before it ends up in the farmer's hands is pretty astounding. And so those tariffs do have an impact.
And Blade says the association is trying to minimize the potential impact of any tariffs.
Navigating that, trying to figure out how to best respond, but also to make sure that we are minimizing any impact that this is going to have on the farmers. Because at the end of the day, I do know the intent of the tools that are being exercised is to benefit the United States of America and to benefit farmers. So with an industry that's so heavily dependent on trade and with supply chain that's so heavily dependent on a global manufacturing, we just have to pay really close attention to it, making sure that there are no unintended consequences that have lingering effects.
And again, that is comments with Kurt Blades from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin is one of many elected officials calling on the Trump administration to quickly develop a plan to contain the avian flu outbreak in the nation's poultry flocks and dairy herds. Baldwin wrote a letter to the administration after the Health and Human Services Department refused to provide updated information to the public and the Centers for Disease Control didn't release the morbidity and mortality weekly report for the first time in decades due to the pause on all public health communications. The letter said, quote, the average wholesale price for large white shell eggs reached $8 a dozen, a 218% increase from the $2.51 consumers were paying in December 2023. HPAI detections and egg price increases won't slow down unless your administration commits to a robust response, end quote. Again, that is from a letter with Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. Been waiting to see what the bird flu response plan would be from the USDA and the Trump administration. We've been expecting that here this week. Haven't seen it yet, but we will definitely keeping our eyes out for what their next steps could be. Is it vaccines or something else? We're going to be watching that closely. Well, that's a run through some of the news headlines here to kick off the show today. Coming up next, we are going to take a recap of the National Ethanol Conference. There are plenty of topics that were talked about during the NEC, and there's been some other news headlines that have come out even post-NEC over the last 24, 48 hours. We're going to dive into those issues and more. We're going to talk with DTN Environmental Editor Todd Needley. He joins us next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
At Nutrien Ag Solutions, we're dedicated to helping you achieve your full potential by connecting you with the knowledge, tools, and solutions you need for success. Partner with our team of experts who are ready to tackle the unique challenges you face at each stage of the season with customized whole acre solutions. Speak to your local crop consultant or visit us online at NutrienAgSolutions.com to learn how we can work toward feeding the future together.
Maybe it was a family vacation or a school field trip. But there you were, standing in awe at a national park. We are the National Park Foundation. And together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Today, tomorrow, forever. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Because so many agricultural job openings remain unfilled, the FFA is working hard now to provide America's agriculture education students with the skills that will enable them to thrive in the career of their choice. Today and every day in 2025, we salute our local FFA members.
Recognizing all of the local FFA chapters for all of their hard work throughout the entire year, this FFA salute brought to you by Durant Smokehouse, Highway 85, Durant, where the hog sale is going on now.
We've got what you want, we've got what you need, your satisfaction is guaranteed.
Durant Smokehouse has custom-cut beef, pork, chicken, and more. Master Butcher Roy has custom recipes for burgers, brats, chicken, and more to make any meal a success. Try Durant Smokehouse's famous beef sticks and natural hot dogs, too. Visit Durant Smokehouse, Highway 85, Durant.
We've got what you want, we've got what you need. Your satisfaction is
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here on today's show, let's recap the National Ethanol Conference that happened this past week in Nashville, Tennessee. I know I got to spend a little bit of time down there earlier in the week, and as I was roaming the halls, I was able to have a few minutes and catch up with Todd Neely, DTN environmental editor, who joins us now on the show. And Todd, I'm glad you made it home safely. We were joking that the little bit of snowfall that happened in Nashville might strand you for an extra day. So glad you made it home, and thanks for being with us today.
Hey, not a problem. Yeah, the weather's been a real problem, hasn't it?
It has been, and the cold is just... with how cold it's been, and I know it's warming up, but that just, it just gets into your bones, whether you're out doing chores or even just sitting at home. I mean, it's, you know, our polar vortex is no joke when it happens, right, Todd?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been, you know, I left home in a snowstorm and came home at the end of a snowstorm in Nashville, so it's just been crazy.
Yeah, it has been. It has been. Well, hey, let's talk about what you learned at the National Ethanol Conference. And I know one of the key things was right away on Tuesday, RFA's Jeff Cooper gave his State of the Industry address, and he really seemed to kind of hint that ethanol can potentially save the farm economy again. Is that right, Todd?
Yeah, I think so, Jesse. You know, I was kind of struck by the overall tone. You know, I've been to a lot of these conferences over the years, and you can always tell how things are going in the industry just by how the crowd responds to, you know, the speakers and, you know, what the head guy at RFA has to say. And this time around, I think you're right. I think the talk about where the RFS is going and just the overall tenor was that the Trump administration this time around seems to be willing and able and ready to put biofuels at the forefront of energy policy. You know, if you followed the first Trump administration, that wasn't always the case, obviously. You know, we had small refinery exemptions and all kinds of things that really hit the RFS. And but I think this time around, you know, Jeff Cooper had talked about, you know, the need for the RFS to be a bit more bold and to really step up volumes and all these things, and the fact that you know, we're at a point in time in the industry where, you know, there's just a lot of question in ag about where things are going with the economy. You know, we've seen such a downturn. And he did say that he thought the Trump administration is in a prime spot to basically, you know, step up the RFS. And, you know, we've got all kinds of different things we're waiting on from EPA on that front. There's going to be a set rule, too, which is you know, it will be a multi-year policy, just as the first set rule was in setting volumes. And he seemed pretty bold and pretty bullish on the fact that ethanol could have a role in at least bringing back the ag economy and creating more demand for corn.
Very true. Very true. And I know some of that's going to start with this year-round E15 legislation that was talked about at the conference, I know. And as you mentioned, some things at EPA, I know multiple ag and industry groups kind of coming together here this week as well, urging the EPA and the Trump administration to set robust multi-year RFS volumes. Just a couple things right there that are in front of us, Todd, that could be very impactful for the industry.
Yeah, you're right, Jesse. E15 in particular, I think it was pretty telling that Jeff Cooper said that their number one legislative goal this year was to get an E15 bill across the finish line. And we know that it sounds really good at this point that Trump would sign that. And the big thing is just to finally get over the hump. You know, we've been dealing with the E15 issue you know, the off again, on again nature of E15 over the years. And I think E15, if it's allowed nationally in every state year round on a permanent basis, that itself would be a tremendous boost, not only to ethanol, but obviously to farmers. And I think that there seems to be a pretty good likelihood that either the bill will stand alone itself as a bill, or, you know, as we've been talking about this week, the upcoming budget renewal that Congress is dealing with, you know, there's still some talk that could be a part of that bill as well. So yeah, E15 for sure, I think in the short term, you know, there is even some hint among some of the people at the conference that, hey, why not go to E30, you know, and make that the standard fuel. And you know, that's been another point of contention over the years, that, you know, why stop at E15? And, you know, there's been plenty of study on E30 to suggest that that's a viable fuel as well. So, yeah. And then with the RFS thing, you know, we saw petroleum groups and others come out pressing on EPA to try to get a multi-year RFS set again. And that's something we don't see often. When petroleum and ethanol and ag groups come together on anything, it's really something to talk about.
DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely with us here today on AOA. What about the issue of 45Z, sustainable aviation fuel? I know that there was some talk at the conference, and I believe that some of this came from Iowa Representative Randy Feenstra as well, as we look at everything going on Capitol Hill and the talk about what could happen with some of this Inflation Reduction Act funding and this electric vehicle initiative that was put out by the last administration. I know there seemed to be some buzz about what could or could not happen surrounding all of this at the conference. What did you hear?
Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, Representative Feenstra was a pretty interesting talk at the conference. I think he made it quite clear that he's still kind of in the process of educating other fellow members of the House about how important 45Z is. You know, there was some suggestion in the past few weeks early on that there were House Republicans who were calling for the complete gutting of the Inflation Reduction Act, which that's where the 45Z credit came from. And so seems like there's been a lot of back and forth among House members on what should be included in a budget bill. They're facing you know, the prospect of cutting $2 trillion from the federal budget. You know, of course, that's going to depend on what the Senate does and all these things. But I thought it was pretty telling that Congressman Feenster said that Republicans, by and large, are just absolutely, in his words, they detest electric vehicles. And so that's a pretty good sign that any kind of a subsidy or any other incentives for EVs are pretty much dead in the water, at least in this Congress. And there was some suggestion by Feenster that, you know, perhaps 45Z could be could take the place in the budget bill, because obviously we're at a point in time in the House and Senate where, especially the House, where members are having to find ways of paying for different projects. You know, if they want to include a tax credit in the budget bill, they got to find some cuts somewhere or some way to pay for it. And so it's interesting. I think that's a possibility. You know, whether they can convince the Trump administration, you know, on the benefits of the 45Z, I'm sure there's a lot of that going on. That really is kind of the question.
Well, and as we close out here, we got about a minute and a half. You know, there was a lot of buzz about what the future could hold here for SAF. And I know there's a lot of infrastructure projects that are on hold, you know, waiting for guidance here. And I think a lot of folks at NAC are just wondering, Todd, if the political will is truly there to get something substantial done for sustainable aviation fuel.
Yeah, you know, I think among the Midwest representatives and senators, I do think that is at the forefront of what they're doing. Again, it's going to depend a lot on, you know, what they can convince other House members and Senate members on 45Z and SAF. There seems to be such a negative attitude about the Inflation Reduction Act in this current Congress, although there are a lot of parts to it, especially when it comes to rural America, there are a lot of parts to it that could be pretty significant. And so, it's going to be, I think this, you know, this upcoming budget debate and what comes out of this is probably going to tell us where that's going to go.
Would say, though, that overall seemed like it was a pretty upbeat, positive move at NEC here this past week, right, Todd?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it was helped by the Trump executive orders, you know, that mentioned biofuels and specifically in terms of overall energy policies. And that we didn't hear that from the first Trump administration. It was kind of the RFS and ethanol and biofuels were kind of a nice little thing for Trump to mention and you know, at least say that he's supported. But this time around, he's actually, I think he's learned from that first go around how important a lot of these things are to farms and ranches.
I know folks can read your articles, dtnpf.com, find you and follow you on social media as well. DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely, Always good to hear from you, sir. Thanks for joining us on the show, and we will talk to you again real soon. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate the time.
ETN Environmental Editor Todd Neely with us here today on AOA. Coming up next, we'll take a look at what's happening in the markets and get perspective from Ted Seifert with Zahner Aghaj. He'll join us after this on AOA.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
Your Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, March milk down 17 to 1903, April down 21 to 1871, May down 13 to 1884, June down 12 at 1823. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets moved mostly higher after a favorable export inspections report helped to support the markets. Now, the monthly cattle on feed report will also be released later today as well. That did provide some lingering concerns, but the markets did close higher. Hog markets were lower in the nearby months, higher in deferreds. That export inspections report helping to support many of the deferred contracts. February live cattle up 20 cents to 197.82. March feeder cattle up $1.12 to 267.95. April hogs down 85 cents to 87.67. Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans mostly lower on the day. South America is expected to help keep fresh beans flowing into the export market as the harvest moves on with little changes in the weather. Meanwhile, corn markets moved mostly lower as well. Weaker outside markets pressuring prices. Wheat markets, though, they moved mostly higher. New crop corn down 4.5 to 475. New crop beans down 1.5 to 1059 and 3/4.
FFA members adhere to a code of ethics to promote their own development and make a positive difference in the lives of others. They strive to be courteous, honest, and fair. Modest in winning and generous in defeat. Developing the traits of great leadership. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all the hard work our local FFA chapters do throughout the year, this FFA salute is brought to you by Dunn Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
It's good to know that your Touchstone Energy Cooperative is always there. For generations, we've powered the growth of our neighborhoods, our businesses, and everything in between. Today, our commitment is stronger than ever to provide affordable energy you can depend on and keep you connected to what matters most, now and for generations to come.
Dunn Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, joining us now, let's get some market perspective here on AOA. It's been a while since we've had a chance to catch up with Ted Seifert from Zahner Aghaj, and he joins us now on the show. Ted, how are you, buddy? It's good to hear from you again.
Jesse, I am doing well. It's Friday. Happy Friday. And it's great to hear from you too, buddy.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, I wish the markets looked a little bit better as we work through Friday's trade. And really this week, there's some interesting talking points for us to dive into. And I would love to start on the macro side, because the Thursday, Friday, you're seeing the stocks getting beat up, things like that. I'm wondering if that's playing its way over into the ags, the grains, livestock, etc. I mean, what's your take on some of the macro moves that we've seen this past week?
Yeah, Jesse, Thursday and Friday were bad days for the stock market indices, right? We were down pretty sharply on Thursday, although we bounced off the lows towards the end of the day. That is key, because the lows that we had on Thursday were right on top of like a 50-day and 100-day moving average that are converging. You know, that's if that 50-day drops below the 100-day moving average on a Dow chart, that's a death cross, right? I mean, that is a really negative technical signal. Also, kind of looks like a longer term head and shoulders. So there's a lot of negative things happening there. And then, you know, to follow that up, Friday, at least at the moment, we're down another 401 points in the Dow. And we're through both the 50 and the 100-day. And if we close down here, man, that really starts to look pretty negative on a chart. And not just for like a intermediate correction, maybe for a longer term or maybe a deeper correction. So that, I think, is causing a lot of concern around your money managers, right? And I'm actually a little bit surprised that we didn't see more risk-off trade happening on Thursday when we had the amount of pressure that we were seeing. I think that was your Wall Street guys kind of taking a pause, saying, hey, you know, maybe it holds the support, bounce back up. It did kind of do that towards the end of the day, even though it was a bigger down day. It wasn't as bad as it was at one point. They seem to kind of want to wait. But then I do feel like that's creeping into the market a bit more here today, with corn down 5.25 in the May. Just lightening up on some positions, not wanting to have that sort of risk in a climate where, I don't know, you've got both the S&P and the Dow really in some kind of scary territory here at the moment. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a bit of a pause button for them for now.
Well, and, you know, I would think if there's money coming out of stocks, a lot of times you see that roll into ag commodities as kind of that shift to a safe haven. But again, not necessarily seeing that on Friday. And I know in the case of some of those fund managers, they're long in almost all ag commodities, minus I think the wheat is about the only one they're still short in. I mean, and talk about what we're seeing in the grains right now specifically.
Yeah, well, so, you know, like you said, I mean, you know, sometimes we think, okay, if they're getting out of equities, they're looking for something else to get into, you know, safe haven, like you said. I feel like that's been more gold than anything else. The problem that that grains have right now is the whole inflationary talk. Because if we're going to see a bigger break in the stock markets, that is a rather deflationary move, right? And so if there's money being destroyed by the stock market, right? Value or equity being destroyed, that means there's less money flowing through the economy. A slowdown in the economy means less inflation. So instead of getting into raw commodities for the inflation trade in lieu of a stock market correction, this has a different feel to it. This has a slowdown of inflation type, hey, I don't really want to be exposed to things that have had pretty sizable rallies off their lows, specifically in the case of like corn or like hogs, for example. They just want to put the cash on the sidelines. At least that's the feeling that I'm getting here, you know, for Friday morning.
Ted Seifert with Zahner Ag Hedge joining us here today on AOA. So looking at the grains, I know we have the weather conversation as well. That's a fundamental factor here. South America sounds like they're making progress in Brazil on soybean harvest and safrina planting, trying to catch up. And I'll throw in here as well some of the rumors this past week about a potential trade deal with China. I mean, you look at the trade side, the tariff talk, and the weather. Would you say those are probably going to be the biggest drivers here for the next several weeks in the grains?
Yeah, and we also have, you know, the acreage conversation that's really coming into play as well. Yeah. As well, you know, I mean, and part of that acreage conversation is, you know, a longer-term outlook on our weather, too. So we've got a lot. I mean, this is the time of year where we normally have a lot going on between our upcoming growing season, the current or in-progress growing season that is going on in South America. But then on top of that, throw in all the policy stuff as well. And wow, it is kind of wild. I will say that I think soybeans in particular really got a boost on Thursday from that trade talk. You know, President Trump on, you know, Air Force One kind of in the middle of the night saying that a trade deal with China is possible. Also that he is looking for a better deal than phase one, meaning, you know, he wants China to buy a lot from us. And what would that be? Well, hey, soybeans are the number one or number two ticket item on that. So, that was friendly for soybeans. But we've not seen any follow through on that. I don't get the feeling that is close. You know, I think people in the market yesterday were feeling like, hey, that might be something that, you know, once they do have an in-person meeting, it's already worked out behind the scenes that we and then we can get an announcement. I just think we have a little bit of a different feeling on that today. And I think the stock market's saying that as well. So that is something that we will continue to watch on a daily basis. And we've learned that in this current administration, these sorts of announcements can happen any time of day, anytime during the weekend, anytime during the middle of the night. So that is going to have to keep our heads on a swivel. But then also we've got the normal things, right? I mean, we're in the thick of it for that Argentinian crop. You know, the models are in a bit of disagreement as far as whether the rains return after this period of warmer, drier temperatures, drier forecasts. And if they do, I think you've got a crop in Argentina that is slightly improving. You saw their crop conditions improve by about 2% in both corn and beans in the good category. On their latest crop conditions model. I think that Argentinian crop has a chance to stabilize and potentially even maybe get better. But again, that's a big question mark because you have a lot of disagreement in the forecasting models at the moment. You mentioned Brazil. Yes, you know, harvest for the first season soybeans and therefore planting for the second season's in front of corn crop has been well behind, but they are starting to catch up. They are behind last year, but they're catching up to the five-year average. And there is – the fact of the matter, Jesse, is there's going to be some corn that is going to get pushed into their typical hot and dry window at the end of the growing season. So we worry about what that means for corn and grain fill. We're going to need to see a pretty significant amount of rain on that second season corn through the middle of the growing season in order to feel comfortable about what the end of the season might look like. So there's risk there. I mean, there's risk points on weather through South America. You look at our drought monitor, we're not exactly thrilled about that at the moment either. So I think there's a lot of risk points, especially for corn, really between now and the middle of our growing season, that might keep corn somewhat elevated. But you also have to keep in mind of the things that we started off talking about that, yeah, you know, there are bigger picture things at play here. There's money flow. You've got the funds that had been about as long as they've ever been at this time of year. And if something happens to cause them to run away from those positions, even if it doesn't have anything to do with corn fundamentals or what I'm going to say, traditional corn fundamentals, well, you can get a pretty massive correction to the downside in corn, even if nothing really has changed for corn specifically. So you have to be mindful of that. You have to be paying attention to South American weather. You have to be involved in the acreage conversation and what our weather is going to look like for planting and beyond. So yeah, like you said, a whole lot of factors at play this time of year normally, but this year in particular, we've got even added extra stuff going on. So
yeah,
yeah, lots of risk on both sides of the market, I'd say.
Well, and talking about that risk and looking at that for producers here, final 2 minutes, Ted, I mean, how do we lay off that risk and manage some of that risk when things are volatile like this?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think, you know, when uncertainty is at its peak, that's when we have to be very religious about our marketing plans, right? And I always say by the time we get to the end of February, I would like to see guys, you know, 20 to 35% sold on new crop corn, 15 to 20% on beans, 15 to 25% on beans. This year, I'm kind of flipping that over because I just think the underlying fundamentals for corn are more friendly than they are for beans. The global ending stocks for beans are just, you know, they've increased 28% over the course of the last 2 years. So yeah, I'd like to see guys 30, 35% sold on new crop beans at this point. there are ways to reopen upside potential if necessary. And the way you do that is really kind of up to you, your risk tolerances, how you like to operate. You know, HTAs are always a good option. I like creating price window strategies specifically for corn because I want to protect the downside, but I also do want to allow for upside potential. As I was saying, there's a lot of risk points in corn from a weather standpoint, both in South America and that second season safrinha corn crop, and then our growing season as well. So I would like to keep some upside potential there for corn. So like buying a put, maybe selling a call to finance it. The skew is towards the calls right now. So you can be selling a call that's further away from the market than the put that you're buying. I think that's a very viable strategy if you're willing to accept that there is margin risk on that short call. And if you understand it, I mean, you really have to understand strategies like that in order to employ them. But if you do have that understanding and you do have the means to deal with margin and things like that, I think it's a great strategy right now.
Ted, always appreciate the insight. I know folks can find your commentaries, Zahner.com. Follow you on X as well, at the Ted Spread. Good to hear from you again. Thanks for joining us on the show, and we'll talk to you again real soon, buddy.
Thanks, Jesse. Always a pleasure, man. Talk to you soon, bud.
Ted Seifert with Zahner Ag Hedge joining us here on AOA. Coming up next, we're going to get some tire tips with Chris Neidert of Trelleborg. Back with more right after this.
There's no such thing as too much caring. That's why Gunderson Health System and Bellin Health have come together to form Amplify Health. The same doctors you trust, the same hospitals and clinics you count on, the same great care, all amplified by an even higher focus on empathy. Amplify Health is more than just a new name. It's a way to make personalized care more personal than ever. Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
The FFA trains young people for successful careers in agri-science and engineering, ag marketing, merchandising, sales, and many other careers indispensable to keeping American agriculture on the cutting edge. Today and every day in 2025, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Recognizing all of our local FFA chapters for all of their hard work throughout the entire year, this FFA salute is being brought to you by 24/7 and West Wisconsin Telecom.
For over 70 years, 24/7 and West Wisconsin Cellcom has been serving generations of people by bringing smart fiber optic technology to their homes, businesses, and communities. We serve the farmer, relying on ever-changing weather conditions, or the school teacher using computers and tablets to give students cutting-edge skills they can use in the workforce. Securing fast connections for hospitals, doctors, and nurses to bring you the best healthcare possible. Head to WWT.net and let 24/7 and West Wisconsin Cellcom bring fiber-fast internet to you.
Whether it's rescuing animals caught in disasters, ensuring the welfare of animal actors on screen, or safeguarding our planet's endangered species, we're committed to creating a better world for animals. Remember, natural disasters threaten humans and animals alike, so take precautions to keep you and your pet safe. For more information, please check out AmericanHumane.org.
A message brought to you by American Humane.
At Nutrien Ag Solutions, we're dedicated to helping you achieve your full potential by connecting you with the knowledge, tools, and solutions you need for success. Partner with our team of experts who are ready to tackle the unique challenges you face at each stage of the season with customized whole acre solutions. Speak to your local crop consultant or visit us online at NutrienAgSolutions.com to learn how we can work toward feeding the future together.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937.
That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Helping your inner circle prepare for emergencies can start in many ways. Put together an emergency kit with WipeWall. Create a family communication plan with your tita. Remind Bai to keep a backup battery charged. It all starts with a simple step, telling those you care about to be ready for the worst. So start a conversation and plan for emergencies together. Get more tips at ready.gov/start. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA as we close out our show today. It's not going to be too long. I know it seems like a long ways away right now, but spring planting season is not too far off in the distant future. And when you get ready for spring planting, of course, you got to pull your equipment out of the shed and take a look at everything and make sure it is ready to roll. And that includes your tires. Such a crucial piece, making sure that your tires are in good shape on your tractors, your planters, etc., before you hit the field and have issues and it just causes you unwanted downtime. Well, during the National Farm Machinery Show, I was able to catch a few minutes with Chris Neidert of Trelleborg. Got some tire tips from Chris as we head into spring planting season and just a few weeks ahead, and also talked about some of their latest products and innovation. Let's take a listen to that conversation right now on AOA. How are you, sir? It's good to see you again.
Hey, Jesse, top of the afternoon to you. We're doing well. You know, the show's going very well. We're in day two here, the day of our recording here, and we get really good traffic. This is one of my favorite shows. We get some good conversation with the growers. We're in a good spot here, and we have some really good traffic.
Well, you guys have some good traffic for a good reason. A host of tires on display, including an award-winning tire, the TM1. Tell us about the award and tell us about the TM1 tire, Chris.
Well, Jesse, we're really excited here. You know, as I always say, Trelleborg always tried to be at the forefront of technology. So our TM1 EcoPower, we've won the prestigious AE50 award, which is given by the American Society of Agricultural and Biological Engineers. Now, that's a lot of stuff there, but what it is, they recognize innovation of products. Our tire here, Jesse, 65% of the parts that go into that tire, bio status or what I call sustainable or recycled material. So we're doing our job to reduce the pollution, reduce the pollution of Mother Earth, and it's really worked out well because we have a good partnership with AGCO. They put this tire on their electric tractor, so it is, if we could show the tread here, it's a very low rolling resistance tread pattern, so it reduces fuel usage for a regular tractor, it reduces kilowatt usage on an electric tractor, and the tread design, it it lends itself to very good road wear. So we're real happy winning this award, so we're showcasing it here at the show here, Jesse.
Fantastic, fantastic. What other tires are on display here at the show? I know you guys have a whole lineup, a whole suite of tires for many different applications on the farm and ranch. What are some of the other products you're showcasing this week?
Well, you know, our niche is high horsepower, high load carrying equipment, and we continue to come to the table. Our VF 1250 50R32, that's just a, and Jesse, again, if we had a television here, we'd see that. It's just a huge tire. It's in the final stage of testing, but VF technology lets you run less air pressure than a standard tire or carry more load than a standard tire, up to 40%. Also, the load index of it is 207. Now, Jesse, the load index equates to how much load the tire can carry. The bigger the number, the higher the load. 207, that could be the largest in the industry. And it also has what we call PFO technology, pressure field operation. It lets you, again, run even lower air pressure than a standard VF tire. So a lot of technical stuff in there, as Trelleborg does.
I know, Chris, obviously we're still in winter. We can feel that outside here in Louisville this week with that cold front moving in. But spring is right around the corner. Spring planting season's right around the corner. And I know a lot of producers are going to be going out into the shed, checking their equipment, getting ready. Maybe they got to do some things with their tires. Maybe they have to get some new tires on before they roll out into the field. What would you tell folks as they're kind of doing some of that spring maintenance, that checklist when it comes to tires?
Well, Jesse, thank you for bringing that up. A couple things. We're coming to spring planting. You're exactly right. Get out there, check the equipment. Much of the equipment, Jesse, has been in the shed all winter long. The first thing you want to do is check the air pressure in the tires. When we've talked in the past, you know how I always talk about air pressure. Now it's really critical because they maybe have not seen the equipment since maybe November. You're going to lose air. That's just a facet of air pressure. You lose air pressure over time naturally. You got to check that air pressure. Get your qualified tire dealer involved to recommend some air pressure. So that's a big thing. And hey, again, check out how much the tread depth, how much wear you got on the tires, and it might be time to buy tires. You're right, Jesse.
Well, if folks want to learn more about Trelleborg and the lineup that you guys have, I know they can reach out online. A lot of different ways to get in touch to see what tire solutions you might have for them. What's the best way for folks to learn more?
Well, Jesse, we got a huge portfolio of tires, tractor tires, combine or harvester tires, sprayer spreader tires, trailer tires, agro industrial tires. The best place to go, Jesse, Trelleborg-tires.com. They can get right to the main website and they can browse through that.
Trelleborg-tires.com for more. Chris Snyder, always great to see you, my friend. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us here at the National Farm Machinery Show.
Thanks for the comments, Jesse, and always good speaking with you.
Once again, one of the smartest tire guys I know in the business, Chris Snyder with Trelleborg, and good to catch up with him at the National Farm Machinery Show. And I can't think of anything worse than getting out into the field, getting rolling with spring planting and field work, and then having something happen with your equipment, especially with your tires. So good thoughts from Chris. Make sure you have that proper maintenance done before you run into an issue that slows you down once we get into springtime, which I know for many folks, they're tired of the cold weather. I know I'm one of them, but spring's not too far off in the distant future. It'll be here before we know it. All right, with that, we're out of time here today on AOA. Thanks again for joining us. Coming up here on our next program, we'll get a look at the weather. Are we going to see a continued warm-up on the way or not? DTN meteorologist John Baranek will join us. We'll also hear some more conversations I gathered at the National Ethanol Conference with Brian Jennings for the American Coalition of Ethanol and Robert White from the Renewable Fuels Association. We'll also take a look at the markets with Dara Newsom from Bar Chart. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. Appreciate you listening to AOA. We'll be right back.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth. I've loved and cared for rescue animals since I was a little girl growing up on a farm in Illinois. My pets have always been some of the most important members of my family. My friends at
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Following last month's deadly wildfires, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass announced she's fired L.A. Fire Department Chief Christian Crowley, effective immediately. It follows a review of the case.
A thousand firefighters.